Good evening. Thank you very much for tuning in and being a part of the show with us. Open phone lines for the remainder of the show. Let's go east of the Rockies. TJ in Albert Lea, Minnesota, my backyard. Welcome to the show.
Dave Schrader, say.
Yes.
Are you getting good copy on me?
I can hear you over very clearly, sir. What's going on?
Okay, well, I want to boost your ego, but not too much. Ego's a sin, too. You know, this is getting jocular, this roller coaster ride your callers are putting us on. But your first guest, that KJ only young Christian, terrified me because he kept repeating over and over, he had a demon. He had a demon named so-and-so, and it went on and on. And I don't doubt it one bit. He's, I got a little bit more genuflective in prayer for that poor soul. He never heard of moderation in all things, or my peace be with you. He just knew about the demons, and he said he had them. He didn't say he read about them. I hope you rerun and listen to your program tonight over and over, because you.
Oh, I don't think I could take it. I don't think my heart could put up with it, TJ.
Well, and then the last caller, the federal agent. I've got as much respect for federal agents as George Washington had for King George, and he said he knew he'd been abducted. Because he woke up with needle marks in his arm. I can't help but wonder who put those there. And I, too, have been abducted twice.
You have been?
Trader.
Okay. And how long ago has it been since you were abducted?
1984.
Okay. And what happened to you?
And
what was your experience?
It was by pretty Iowa women south of State Line Road. But the victory in that came through my grandchildren. And I know about USAPOs, that's unidentified silvery-colored Air Force objects, and UFOs. I'm an old man, a military retiree. And I want to say hello to one of your listeners on Sirius Radio, Al from Glenville, Minnesota. But if you rerun your program tonight, you'll be a hero in your own mind and mine too. And Labor Day, I hope to be up there at Canterbury Downs to watch some Wiener Dog Wars.
Well, if you get a chance, swing on out to the Minnesota State Fair next week. We'll be at our KTLK booth doing the show next Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Scott Walter from America Unearthed will be with us on Thursday from 3 to 6 p.m. We'll be out there on Wednesday from noon to 3 and Friday noon to 3 as well. Thanks a lot for calling in, TJ, and for your patience. I know you were on for quite a long time. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back in. We've got Mark in Las Vegas, Nathan in Myrtle Beach, and Johan in Switzerland next on Coast to Coast AM. It's time to go to the international line, Switzerland. Johan, you're on the air. What's going on tonight, Johan?
Thanks, Dave. Well, I was still thinking about that September 23rd comet and how all the authoritarian figures in the all leaders in the world have not figured enough to shut down the nuclear plants and cap the oil wells and do a dry run just in case this thing that's coming in, named Hades, the boot, doesn't break open the gates of hell and cause a Fukushima-type reaction all over the world with all the nuclear plants and the oil wells. What do you think of that, Dave? Why aren't they saying anything? Why are they so quiet?
I don't know. What exactly do you think is about to happen?
A comet will hit, wreck about one-third of the world's economy, and maybe flip the Earth off the axis because everything matches up with prophecy.
So you think that a comet's going to hit and only mess up one-third of the economy?
Well, it's going to be, I think the whole world's going to be shocked, but I think one-third of the world will try to survive that incident. two-thirds will try to survive. I think there'll be tidal waves. I think everybody's ignoring it. So at least we should do is do a dry run in case another comet comes some time in the future. We could use this one as a dry run and pray it isn't the real one, because it does match up with Wormwood in the Bible, and it does match up with rumors of wars and people being beheaded all over the world. And it also matches up with other things that aren't even on the internet that I didn't want to go into tonight, but really should be gone into. You can't have a show on that September 23rd comet the day before it hits. Nobody will have enough guts to move. They'll all be too shocked. You have to.
Well, I'm just curious. What makes you think that they're not already running tests and they're just not telling us about it?
Well, this stock market crash is that happened just last Monday, a week ago Monday, is my indicator that on September, August 24th, when it happened, that's the signal of all the elite that are in cahoots with the reptoids worldwide, are drawing out all their stocks and putting it into gold and heading for their bunkers 1 month before the comet hit. I predict that day way before it happened. And so I needed an indicator that this thing was coming, and that stock market down drop of 1,000 points was it.
I don't know. I don't buy it. I don't think that there's something coming towards us. I hope I'm right, and I hope that everybody else is wrong on this case.
Well, Dave, one thing is you ask the question, how are all these things going wrong with our politicians? It's because they're being controlled by a reptoid force on Earth, and you need someone that'll fight that reptoid force, and I have to be the king of the reptoid resistance on Earth, and we will fight that force after the comet hits and after we get reset.
Well, I guess we'll find out soon enough. Thanks a lot for calling in, Johan. Let's go to west of the Rockies, Mark in Las Vegas. Welcome to the show, Mark.
Well, I worked with the Illuminati for a while.
All right.
I was working as a rocket scientist, and I was the project in Waxahachie, the superconducting super collider, and they recruited me, and they recruited some people out of Los Alamos. Well, anyway, I'm just saying that because I spent a lot of my years arguing. I'm a very argumentative person, arguing with these top scientists about everything in the world, like global warming. I mean, some of the scientists started pushing that, and, man, we ended up throwing one guy out of our group. Well, so anyway, on Coast to Coast AM, they had Bob Lazar on. And as soon as I heard him, I knew right away this guy was real, because the physicists all speak, they use certain words in certain ways. And this guy had obviously been with top scientists somewhere for a while. So that got my attention. So I ended up, I moved to, I'm in Las Vegas now, but I moved to Pahrump because I wanted to meet Art Bell, because he knew Bob Lazar or had him on his show a few times. And I could see his house. I knew where he lived, but I wasn't going to go knock on the door. I figured I'd just wait and run into him somewhere in town. Well, he moves away, so he's gone. Bob Lazar's gone, too. And what I was going to do is I had a policeman who was my friend for 30 years in Houston, Texas, and we developed drones, and we had rockets and jet engines and also silent electric, and I was going to use a drone to fly over Area 51, and it looked like a hawk or a bird, and it, as long as it's circling and silent and invisible to radar, I figure I could look all I wanted at Area 51. So, well, that didn't work out either. But, boy, I tell you, drones have become so popular. I was on the right track. And the last thing I wanted to tell you, two other things. One is that, as far as policemen that go bad, my friend who was a policeman, he took steroids in high school because the football players did that to, I guess, because the other guys were doing it. And then in college, he continued to do that. And when he became a police officer, he wanted to maintain that physique and everything because the job is physically challenging. This guy was a great person and a great police officer. But let me tell you, after about 20 years, of being on steroids, he began to get that roid rage. And I was never in fear of him, or I never had an awkward moment, but the police will not let policemen be tested for steroids. And I think it's a big problem, and I think it really affects their attitude. I saw it on a daily basis. I saw this guy every day. And one day, I told him, he knew my wife really well, was a nurse. I said I was going to test him for steroids. He didn't come over for 3 days. So, I mean, he was really cool about it, but I think that's part of the problem.
All right, very well, could be. Thank you for calling in and sharing your insights on this. Let's go to first-time caller line. We've got Scott in Davenport, Iowa. Welcome to the show, Scott. Scott, are you there? All right, let's put Scott back on hold. We'll come back to him. Scott, I need you to turn down your radio and pay attention to the phone so we can hear you, buddy. There's a delay. Wildcard line 3, Mike in Tucson, Arizona. You're on the air.
Yeah, Dave, I've heard a lot of the demonologists and so forth on Coast to Coast pretty much admit that it's next to impossible to get a demon to leave, or when they do, they come back.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus mentioned the head demon by name, and the prophets mentioned all these demons, the head demon by name under different names. Enoch mentioned at least 10 of them, maybe 15 of them, by name. So where in the Bible does it say that we're not supposed to mention any demons by name?
Here's the deal. The people in the Bible that were referring to them were holy men and prophets and disciples, correct?
Yeah, but they were setting examples for us.
Mm-hmm. And by naming the demons, that is when they would call them out. It was in naming them that empowered them to cast the demons out. That's when they were naming the demons. It wasn't just throwing the name around willy-nilly.
Not true with Enoch. Okay. Enoch just was documenting what was going on with those 200 that Steve Quayle's always talking about, and he just mentioned them by name. He wasn't trying to cast them out.
Okay, well, again, from having talked to exorcists and demonologists for years on the shows.
Who cannot remove demons, but the ones who can remove demons don't seem to have a problem with it. It sounded to me like you're basically turning the names of demons into idols, and God says that the idol is nothing before God. And your guess, Joshua, was everything he was saying was accurate. If you're not giving your mind over to the demons, and if you're not calling their names out in worship and praise, then there's really not an issue. It sounded to me like he answered your question, and you kept going back on him, and that's when he got aggravated with you. And I think that was inappropriate on your part, very unprofessional.
Okay. Well, I mean, again, we can agree to disagree. I asked a question just looking for clarification, not saying I had the answer. I wanted to know if it was, well, I don't believe that he did answer me. He just continued to get more and more aggressive about it and yell at me and tell me it was wrong. No, I'm pretty sure it's the perception of listening to the show, and you'll actually hear it for yourself. Thank you for calling in and giving us a talk this evening. Let's go to a wild card, line 4, Phyllis, or Dennis in Philly, rather. Welcome to the show. Oh, we've got that going. Let's go back. First-time caller, Scott, are you with us now?
I am.
All right, Scott, thanks a lot for hanging in. What's up tonight, sir?
First-time caller, first-time listener, and kind of working kind of late in the garage and listening to AM radio. And anyways, not paying much attention, and your caller mentioned the Necronomicon.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's anything your listeners should take away from this, is this. The Necronomicon is nothing to be messed with. My brother brought that into our home when I was a young boy, and the things that happened after that was just unreal. First of all, I mean, he probably, I don't know, 6 or 7 guys that liked to mess with that thing, all of them went nuts, and my brother included. As a child, when he brought that thing into the house, things started happening that you can't explain. My bed would shake as a kid. My parents would tell me it was just in my mind, but I slept in a bunk bed with toys on the top bunk. You could hear it rattling around, you know, while the bed was shaking. Just something really bad. I mean, it really, really invited in things that you can't explain.
Well, first of all, the Necronomicon, the Necronomicon is a fictional book. It's a textbook of magic that appeared in the stories by horror writer H.P. Lovecraft. So yeah, it was first mentioned in his books in 1924. So there is no real Necronomicon. It's something that was created by a horror and fantasy writer.
But this book, I think it was published by Avon Books, which is what made it so interesting. You know, I mean, and my mom worked for Avon, and you had these little gates and things you could call upon demons or gods, whatever it was. And you know, these guys are messing with it, and I'm telling you, this stuff really invited stuff in the house that you can't explain. You can't deal with.
Okay, and I agree. I mean, certainly there are people that bring in books. Some people believe that simply by having a Ouija board in your home, it can conjure up or open up portals to, you know, dark things coming through. Again, depends on the intention of the people using it. And just as, you know, our first guest said that he was educating himself with those books. That's something I wouldn't do. I don't want to open myself up to that information. And some people are really good at it. I know that that's not something that I know that I'm prepared to shield myself from. So it's not something, you know, to me, that's garbage I just don't need in my house.
It's really something to stay away from.
Right.
You know, I mean, you know, as I got older, you know, things, it just got worse and worse. You know, I mean, I remember I'd be taking a shower in the morning and you could hear people literally arguing in the house. And I would, you know, jump out of the shower to go see what was going on, and nobody would be there. You know, my now wife, when I was dating her in high school, you know, I'd tell her about these things. She's, you know, she's a good Catholic gal, and she didn't buy into it. And she comes over to the house one evening, and we're sitting there, we're watching Unsolved Mysteries. And it was, they were having a special on Halloween, and they were talking about, you know, ghosts, this, that, and the other thing, and she didn't like it, and we stepped on the back porch step, and we're sitting out there, and this time, my brother had a son, and he had little toys around the house, that kind of thing, and we're just sitting back there, and we're talking, and we're talking about the show, and, she, and like I said, she didn't like it, and bottom of the porch step there, you see this light start flashing, and you hear this, you know, car 51, where are you? Car 54, where are you? Something like that. You know, and she says, what's that? You know, what's that? And I get up and I go out and I go down there and investigate, and he's got this little toy down there, and it's just going off and it's doing its thing. And I mean, the second I touch it, it turned off, and I pick it up, and the wiring is torn out of it. The battery's torn out of it. And there it is flashing and making noise, and you know, we're talking about this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And a good buddy of mine, he's a very religious fellow, and he happens to call right at that moment, and I was telling him about it. And you know, I says, hey, it's very funny you would call because you're my religious buddy. And I started explaining to him, and he says, oh yeah, he says, it's religious warfare. He says, you know, you guys got so much stuff going on in your house there, and it's like you've noticed them and they noticed you, kind of thing, you know.
Right. Yeah. Once you give that kind of attention, thank you for calling in. Yeah. Once you give that kind of attention and they notice you or you notice them, that's supposedly the invitation and the open door policy as well. Now, I will say the Necronomicon was a book that was created by H.P. Lovecraft. There was a mass market paperback that was released back in March of 1980 called The Necronomicon, written by someone called Simon. And again, you know, a book written that way and put out, is it truly a book of magic and black magic? I guess if the intent is to go in with that and read the spells and the things that were included, sure, maybe there's power in that. Let's take a break. We'll come back with more of your calls. I'm Dave Schrader, and this is Coast to Coast AM. I'll be back with you on September 12th and the 13th. I'll be filling in on Coast to Coast AM. I hope you'll come back and join the journey with me again when we return. Let's go to the phone lines, wildcard line one, Kyle in Hayward, California. You've been patiently waiting. Welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you. How are you tonight?
I'm doing well, Kyle. What's going on?
Not much. I was wondering if it's okay if I read a poem to you that I came up with.
In what topic are we referring to? Is this about something we've covered tonight, Kyle?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it's more of an overall, you know.
Sure. Go ahead and give us the short version of it. Let's hear what you have.
Okay. Confusion to gain more ground in your secret underworld. Sway the masses at your will, conforming them quietly with saurian skill. For some genetics play a role, like monarch butterflies without a soul, young and tender in easy mold. Most others are fast asleep, subliminal messages running deep in the lines of our minds.
Very nice. Thank you for sharing that with us. Let's go to wild card line four. We have Lisa in Otis, Oregon. Welcome to the show, Lisa.
Hello.
How are you being affected by all the fires there, Lisa?
Well, we had very bad smoke last week, and it affected my asthma, and it affected a lot of my friends' asthma, and we just stayed in and tried to keep the animals in, and it was very smoky here.
Really? And I put out, and I'll ask our massive coast-to-coast audience, put out some good thoughts, prayers, intention, whatever you've got for Idaho, Oregon, Washington, California. They are burning. Over 200,000 acres lost.
Terrible.
I think in Washington and Oregon alone. So if you have the time, put out the prayer and thought and good intentions of just sending soaking rain to those areas. They are in need more now than ever. There, I think they said that there's firefighters coming all the way in from New Zealand and Australia to help with these fires.
They are, and we're getting a little bit of rain tonight and early this morning, and we had a little tiny bit yesterday.
Good. Well, hopefully it'll keep coming and make the job a lot easier to deal with. What did you want to talk about tonight?
Well, I wanted to address the guest you had at first, and I wanted to say something about him saying that I'm an abductee, by the way, and
okay.
He said that these little creatures drink your blood, and they want the DMT, and they want you, you know, they drink your blood. And in my experience, which was horrific, by the way, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. In my experience, when I was laying on the table and I was looking right directly up into their face, they have a little flap that doesn't go anywhere. They don't have a mouth, at least the ones that I saw. They just have like a little flap. And they don't even have a bottom jaw. They just have this very long pointed thing. I mean,
okay.
Yeah, it looks like a jaw, but it's difficult for me to talk about this, but they kind of look like bald hornets. I don't know how else to suggest it.
All right.
But they don't really have a mouth where they could drink your blood, the ones that I saw. I know there are people out there that might be going through this experience, and I don't want them to get any more frightened than they already are. And I just want to calm that down. I've been abducted a lot, and it's damped off over the past 2 years. They don't take me anymore, probably because I'm going through menopause and my eggs dried up. I don't know. But, you know, but
they're so fickle. So fickle.
Why don't they call me anymore?
Exactly. You don't call, you don't write.
I know.
Oh, that's so sad. But it sounds like you were dealing with the insectoid versions of these aliens.
Well, they look like the gray illustrations, but I had several different kinds. And over the years, my father was involved, my uncle was involved, my brothers were involved, and it's just way too much to go in here. But what I wanted to say is that I think there are many different kinds of experiences going on, but I want to get out there that I think there are two main ones. There are these creatures that are interdimensional, maybe hyperdimensional.
Right.
That I don't want to call them aliens. I've been researching for 30-some years, and I've had many experiences. And in my opinion, I mean, I want to stress this because I could be really wrong. I believe that these are interdimensional creatures because they they took me out of my body at one point, and I had a near-death experience. And I went down the tunnel, and I ended up in a world that was so beautiful that it was beyond description. And it was like the sky was singing, and I met a being of light, and I went through a life review, and it was Leo Sprinkle has written a book called The Omega, Heading Toward Omega, mm-hmm. and he sent me out a questionnaire, and he said there are other abductees who have gone through these, like, near-death experiences, too, and that's one group of beings. And then there's something entirely different where I was taken and I was strapped to a chair and I had a drill put in my skull. No anesthesia. And the men were in military outfits. And this was so horrible. And Steven Spielberg did a special mini-series called Taken.
Right.
And there's a scene in there that is very close to what I went through with that poor man. And what I'm trying to say is that I believe there are military re-abductions, and then there are these creatures that are hyper-dimensional or interdimensional. And they're totally different because one group uses hypodermics and conventional medical equipment, and the other group uses light, like balls of light, and things that I can't even describe, that are technology that I don't even understand. Anyway, I wanted to get that out there.
Well, thank you for sharing that. I hope that you're safe now and won't have to go through with this again. Do you get
I'm
an idea? What do you think that they really wanted? Was it just testing on you to try to understand us more, or did you feel that they were doing reproductive things along that nature?
Well, I definitely had some reproductive things done to me, and I don't want to talk about that because
understandable.
Really hard things going on. But what I will say is that when I was much younger, I had a lot of emotional problems, and I was suicidal when I was very young. And I woke up in bed with one of these creatures laying next to me with its eyes looking right into mine when I was going through a really hard period. And it had its little skinny skeletal body wrapped around mine. Now, this is going to sound so horrible, but it was looking, they talk by looking right close at you. Mm-hmm. That's how they speak, with their eyes. And it was going, live, live, Lisa, live. And I don't think that's a satanic creature. I don't think one that is evil would have tried to will me to live.
That's
true. I don't think they're all sweetness and fairy dust and light.
Right.
But I do believe they come from the place where we go to when we die.
Well,
I believe
thank
they're
you.
Connected with that interdimensional area.
Right.
Because my father passed away, and he came back to me in a dream, and he said he had spoken to one of these little things over there.
Wow. And even on the other side, they make themselves known.
Yes.
Unbelievable.
Yes.
Well, Lisa, thank you for calling. We have to go to a break. I appreciate you calling in and listening to the show this evening and being a part of it. We do have to take our final break. We'll come back. We've got Chris, Dave, and Milton. You're up next on Coast to Coast AM. We are back. This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host this evening, Dave Schrader. As we round out another edition of the best in overnight talk radio, let's go to Wildcard Line 2 for open phone lines. Chris in Denver, welcome to the show.
Hey, what's up, Dave?
Just biding my time, my friend. What's going on with you?
Not too much, man. So first off, I just want to say, that first guest you had, I think it was really, really important that you stopped them from talking about these demonic creatures and their names. We don't need to call them out, you know. So This is something like exorcists will do, you know, very often, that they have to find out their names and what they do, their specific job, you know, all that stuff like that. So I just want to say kudos to you for putting a hold on that. So now I just, the next thing I really want to talk about is so many people on here are being traumatized by alien abduction. You know, we see this all over. Stuff is happening like crazy. We all see it, you know. And so I just like anybody who's going through these kind of traumatic experiences to, you can look up a couple things online. One is the CE4 research by a guy named Joe Jordan, and he will kind of walk you through what is going on. Also another guy named Douglas Hamp. So, and basically what these guys are saying is that, we do have authority over these kind of beings, and it's not necessarily us, but it is in the name of Jesus Christ that we have this authority. So, you know, Jesus had authority over the demons. We can see this all over the Bible. And so at the same time, we see similarities between demonic possession and alien abduction. They're so similar, it's like crazy. So, anybody who is struggling with this kind of stuff and this behavior, call on the name of Jesus Christ, because you will overcome this, you know, because Jesus has overcome it. He's overcame the demons, and I really do believe they are interdimensional beings.
And well, I appreciate the input on that, Chris. Yeah, and thank you for giving us that insight. Chris from Denver. Let's go west of the Rockies. Dave in Walla Walla, Washington, you're on the air.
Oh, Dave, I am having a beautiful evening. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, but I'll get better. What's going on, sir?
Well, I'm sitting here enjoying a nice, it's a full moon out here, and I'm over in the, it's all nice and bright, occasional breeze out here. I'm over in one of our little neighboring towns called Weston, just kind of hanging out in the graveyard this morning.
And, in a graveyard? Why are you in a graveyard?
Oh, because it's, oh, you should see it. It's just a beautiful skyline out here tonight. You can see the monuments, and it's just so peaceful and, well, peaceful and quiet. And of course, you know, you hear sounds, but I mean, it's just, you know, wind blowing through the trees and stuff like that. And
sure.
Plus, I just came from my Sinister 2 the other day, so, you know, just kind of enjoying the evening. But last time we spoke was in March on the Transcendental and Spiritual Awakenings.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a member of the Church of Satan, had the Damascus Road experience where I had the encounter with God, you know, and completely turned my life around. And, you know, even LaVey stated, you know, that there were names that should not have been even made known to mortal man. You know, names that be called upon. So you're right on cue that, you know, this whole demonic stuff kind of needs to be toned down quite a bit. But as far as alien abduction, you know, the Bible does speak about the rapture of the church, and so that is going to give alien abduction all types of grounds for, you know, when there's all these people just instantly gone, what's that going to appear to look like?
Like an abduction, right?
Exactly.
That's abduction, and so, sure.
And so therefore, what is the Antichrist going to draw the people of the armies to come and fight this battle in Armageddon? Is the returning aliens? Or, you know, is that the ploy that he's going to use to draw people to this battle?
I don't know. There's a lot of cause. What's out there? Are we being prepared for this? Are some of these large, giant, 20 to 30 story tall UFOs that are the size of 2 or 3 football fields, are those alien craft preparing to move us to another planet? We've had some callers that have said they've had visions that something's coming and saying that we won't be left behind, that they'll take us. I don't know. Future will tell us what's coming up. Thank you for calling in, Dave. Let's go east of the Rockies, Milton in Memphis, Tennessee. We've got a few minutes left together. Milton, what did you want to talk about?
Oh, Dave, how you doing this morning?
Good. What's going on?
Oh, Actually, I wanted to talk about UFOs.
Sure.
I have been, well, I'm 70, and I've been over the road with FedEx for many years and other companies. Never really seen a UFO. I've seen some strange things that wasn't correct, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it looked like, you know, 45 years old, I have seen one going over. But let me run this by you, if I could.
Sure.
I watch those UFO specials on TV, and these guys are like Peter Davenport. They are very serious. They, you know, and they look at it from a scientific view, and I appreciate that. Okay, they showed a map of the crashed UFOs here in America,
mm-hmm.
In Germany and Russia. I never run a spy. I'm like the gentleman, a couple of gentlemen back. I believe they are demonic because Germany was the first ones to, I think, crashed over in Germany. And of course, Hitler didn't have time to really get his scientists on it. And then in America, then in Russia, and I'm picturing this, I think one in Mexico, picturing this, yeah, Satan would want us to have that kind of technology and toys so we can build up one day, you know, when Armageddon comes, and we could really kill one another out. And I look at this more or less like, you know, they say, well, these aliens are real nice. They treat me good. The other ones, the aliens, treat me terrible. I think they're all together. It's like good cop, bad cop. What mm-hmm. do you think about that?
I don't know. I mean, here's the thing. Some people have had great experiences with different forms. Other people have not, as you brought up. I mean, it's hard to tell. And I, you know, I guess until I've had that moment myself where I've stood face to face with one of these beings, I won't know what's really going on with them. Are they from demonic realms? I mean, here's the deal. If they're demonic, why can we shoot some down? Supposedly some have been shot down. It seems that they would be more powerful. And why would they need UFO and craft like that to get around?
You hit it. You hit it. Someone with that kind of technology, I don't think our planes could actually shoot them down. I think they let us shoot them down, you know. And it's just too convenient, Dave. All these wrecks. I mean, someone, they'd say they're 100,000 years ahead of us.
Right.
I think they would have all these crashes in Roswell and all these different places. You know, it just doesn't really make sense to me.
Hey, even some of the greatest manufacturers of vehicles break down from time to time, and it's got to be vexing on these machines to travel all that way. So you might, you know, you might say that there could be problems with the technology, and especially if they're dipping in and out of dimensions. Thanks a lot for your call and being a part of the show with us tonight. We are at the end of our ride. I want to thank everybody for joining me and making this a part of your night. I'll be back with you on September 12th and 13th here on Coast to Coast AM. Tomorrow night, Jimmy Church is back, George Knapp on Sunday. I want to thank Tom Danheiser, Ben Haley, Dan Galante, Tim Dennis, my engineer and co-producer right here in Minnesota, Lisa Lyon, Chris Boros, and of course George Norrie for allowing me to sit in the big boy seat. Thank you. Be kind to one another, love one another, and I'll see you again in September right here on Coast to Coast AM.